thank you again so much. Cherish all of the prayers for our family during this time, and we are going to be headed up this Saturday, and then we'll be back at the end of next week, so be praying, and the service for my sister will be next week, same time that we'll be here. You guys will be here. We'll be in Ohio doing that, and just cherish your prayers for the Lord's leading there and all of his guidance there. As we come together tonight, reminding us, you know, the world, the day-to-day, the day-in, day-out, there's distractions nonstop. We had a little playful moment last night in the men's study where a phone was going and it, you know, the brother's trying to turn it off and it keeps going. He's trying to turn it off and it keeps going. And finally I stepped out and I said to the guys, it was like, you know, Lord, thank you for the reminder and this object lesson of how the world is always trying to distract us. There's always things vying for our attention, but we have to make the decision. We have to make the choice to say, okay, I'm going to give my attention to you, Lord. We're reminded in Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we're making that choice right now to say, okay, Lord, I want to renew my mind in you. That's why we gather. That's why we're here. We're coming into the Word of God, and we're making that choice. And we're saying, Lord, through your Spirit, teach us, convict us, renew us, restore us, grow us, all for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Father God, for the gift that we have in coming here, Lord. Father, help us to not take for granted the freedom we have to gather in your house, Lord Jesus. Father, the week that we remember those who gave their lives for the freedom in this country, Lord, we thank you for that again, Lord. And Father, we thank you we can freely come to worship, praying for our brothers and sisters around the world who can't do that, Lord. Minister unto them. And Father, as we come this night, I ask you, Lord Jesus, help us to humble ourselves, to come to the lap of our Father and say, teach us. Teach us, Lord. Father, help us to learn more about you tonight. Lord Jesus, help us to put ourselves aside. Lord, I ask through your Spirit, you empower and enable me to preach your word to your people, Lord. For as we saw in James, not many should be teachers, for there's a stricter judgment, Lord. And Father, each time that verse is seen, I am humbled and I am reminded of the gravity of which this calling is. And that is why each time, Lord, I ask, please give me the words for your people. And help each and every single one of us, Lord Jesus, to take whatever could distract us in this moment and cast it aside, to fix our eyes on Christ alone. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. So we're continuing on our journey in the book of Psalms this Wednesday evening. And last week we did two Psalms, Psalm 70 and Psalm 71. And in that, we were looking at some practical reminders for how we are to live. And it was an interesting thing because it was through two lament Psalms. And one again striking and hitting older age. But we were really given this opportunity to see lessons through the low. There are lessons that we can glean. And from Psalm 70, we were reminded to go to God. We were reminded to leave it to God. We were reminded to seek and to praise him. And we were reminded to humble ourselves. From Psalm 71, we were reminded to trust and to take shelter in the Almighty God. We were reminded to look back and to look at all those moments in our lives where we said, thank you, Jesus. Where we saw the hand of our faithful God. Thank you, Jesus. Look back and count those. We were reminded to lean on his strength, not self. We were reminded to hope and to praise nonstop. We were reminded that the soldier of Christ never retires. You don't retire from being a child of God. You don't retire from this army. And to lean on the everlasting sovereign King and to praise by song, lifting those voices, to praise by speech, lifting his name and how you speak and what you say, and to praise by steps, how you live. Praise through the way that you live, our life a worship song. So how are you doing with all those things? How are you doing asking, what's in the way for me to walk by faith, Lord? What's in the way right now? What's in the way of just believing you are and that's enough? And asking yourself, how are you asking me to live out? You know, as even as your pastor, the under-shepherd, moments myself when I revisited this charge and looked at it even this morning and last night, realizing, whoa, there's moments where I let circumstance overtake his faithfulness and goodness. But thank you, Father, you hear our prayer, you turn us around, and you get back in the gym with trainer Jesus and say, build the discipline. We got to get back in the gym with trainer Jesus and build the discipline. Because these were practical reminders and disciplines. We're not going to be perfect, but we got to keep going back to learn it and say, teach me, teach me. And for the older generation, reminding us again, don't let the enemy give you the lie. Yeah, you're done. You're so old. Fake news. You're not, and he's not finished. Run the race and prayerfully say, who are you leading for me to pour into? Because as we said, the younger generation needs it. We need your testimonies. We need your stories of his glory. We need it. Don't sit silently. And every single one of us need to humble ourselves unto action, just like our humble servant Savior Jesus Christ did. Don't forget the humility of our King. So tonight we're going to be in Psalm 72, and we're going to finish the second book of Psalms. Remember, Psalms is five books, so we're going to finish the second book tonight. Woo! It's going to be three books that I finished as a pastor. Woohoo! But we're going to finish the second book. And when we do this, the title of tonight's message is Look to the King, capital K-I-N-G, not kings, lowercase k. Look to the King, not kings. Look to the King, not kings. Now, this psalm that we're going to look at tonight, it is a royal psalm. And if we remember when we, way back a while ago, began the journey, one of the first royal psalms we looked at was Psalm 2. And as it was a royal psalm, it was also messianic. And we're going to see that again tonight. Now, this is not a psalm with its messianic overtones that you're going to see come up in the New Testament. That said, when you look particularly at the prophecies in the book of Isaiah, so much lines up exactly pointing to that reign to come of our King. Now, this psalm itself, it is a psalm of Solomon, as we see, and we have that one and Psalm 127 are the two that we get. Yet, we know, if you look in 1 Kings, we are told he's written 1,005 songs, 1,004, 1,005, 1,005 songs are written by him, and two we get within here. Now, there's some scholars that will point to say, well, maybe this was really a psalm of David about Solomon, but we see again in Scripture a psalm of Solomon. I don't want to get lost in the debate that gets put there. And where that debate comes from is verse 20, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. But when you do a dive there and look a little bit, what's interesting is think back to this whole book, book two of the Psalms, most of them are by David. So it's pointing to the fact, okay, this is where we're pausing there now. And then when we get to book three, the first 11 are Asaph. So there's this postscript giving some clarity and direction that points to that. And we also see in that ending in verse 20 that there's a reminder of the heart of humility again, because it's not pointing to King David. It's pointing to David, son of Jesse, son of a farmer. Yes, he was a reputable farmer, but we're not getting lost in his titles. So we hit verse 20 already, but the more important things that we're going to see and glean are in the first 19 verses of this psalm. And through Solomon's song and prayer that's early on, we're going to see Solomon praying for his character as a king. He's praying for his character as a king. And as he's doing that, he's drawing the desire for character that comes from the King. And we're going to see the outline of a desire for righteousness unto peace, unto power, unto compassion, unto prosperity, all for the glory of the Lord God Almighty. Now, some context when we think about Solomon. If we look at 1 Kings chapter 3, we know early on in the journey where his heart is, where his desire is. 1 Kings 3, verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you," knowing the character there. "You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on this throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Look at that heart there. That's saying, give me that wisdom, God, the wisdom that comes from you alone, that I rule leading with the wisdom that comes from God. That's the desire there. That's where it starts. And then you just go a few chapters, 1 Kings 11, and we see some changes take place at the end. "But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, 'You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods.' Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father." Why do we look at this? Because it's important when we look at this prayer of Solomon as he's getting started, as we look at him looking for these characteristics of the king, it reminds us, getting the whole counsel of the word of God, let us be men and women who strive to finish the race well. And we think of Psalm 71 where we see older age and we have to be mindful, finish the race well. Pride can take you out. Self-righteousness can take you out. Know-it-all can take it out. And we can never lose our search me, O God. Search me, O God. Never lose that childlike faith that has us just say, Lord, search me, know me, try me, that I grow more and more into what you desire. From this Psalm of Solomon, we're going to also see these messianic points, and it's going to remind us that we shouldn't be looking to earthly kings, but we look to the King of Kings, because man will fail you. God will not, but man will fail you. They will. And we're going to see also when we look at this Psalm, this is a beautiful way of how to pray for our leaders, how to pray for our president. How to pray for officials in government that their character would strive to be close to the character of God, that their decisions would be stemming from a relationship with God. But there's something to realize. You can't have a character of someone you don't know intimately. So we pray they know Jesus Christ as King of Kings. So we begin our text, verse 1. "Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy, and will break in pieces the oppressor." So Solomon starts this prayer, and it is that give your godly character. That's a prayer we should pray for our leaders. That ideal Davidic king that would be the one with well-being of the whole, of all people of God present. Seeking and praying for God's judgments, for God's righteousness, for God's justice. And that's a powerful prayer when you think and look in Scripture. What we're reminded about our Lord. If we look at the song of Moses and we look in Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Pointing to our Lord, speaking of our Lord. The author of Hebrews gives us another reminder of that in Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more, because his justice is tied to his mercy, to his grace, to the mercy and grace of our Lord God Almighty. And as we're going to see in a couple months in Acts, chapter 10, we're reminded that when it comes to the Lord God Almighty, when it comes to his characteristics, when it comes to that mercy, when it comes to the grace that our Lord God gives, 10:34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. So we're looking here because if you see the characteristics that Solomon's praying for in this moment, he wants to be the one that's bringing justice to the poor, save the needy, the children, break in pieces those, the oppressors, because he wants all to be tended, which only comes from the character of God. When we see him speaking here, the mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. The mountains being that portrait of the government, national government, local government. The mountains representing the news of the Lord, the safety to the people. He wants to be a king for the poor. He wants to meet the children of the needy, meet the oppressed. That's a desire if you think about leaders today, if we think about rulers today, we want that for them. But we forget there's only one king that can truly minister all that. And it's the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And we have to remember when we then see that rulers without Christ can't rule with his character. I think sometimes we think, well, they're pretty good. They're a pretty good person. Great. That's nice. Do they know Jesus? Lots of people can be good people. But where's the relationship with Jesus? That's what we've got to be praying for. That's what makes it different, because look at that list. Only one person does that relentlessly, the King of Kings. And there's hope, at least, that more of that comes forth if they're tied to the King of Kings. Then verse 5, they shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure. Throughout all generations, he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days, the righteous shall flourish, an abundance of peace until the moon is no more. So we see there's this drive for the character, and then the character starts to move to a very important thing, fear of God. Fear of God, all fearing God, that fear of awe, its wonder, its reverence, its worship, its obedience. How are you with the fear of God? Do you relish and cherish a healthy fear of the Lord God Almighty? We all need it because it draws us closer to him. It draws us closer to him. And when we see this pointing here, and he's pointing to this prayer for this king, and then we see it being alluded to with the millennial reign to come, as we look at the whole context of this psalm, we realize something. Saints, fear of God is timeless. It's a timeless truth. We need to fear the Lord God Almighty. We need to. And that's where we all have to take stock. If you think about that word fear, if you think about that, what do you fear more, God or man? And then take it to the cross. And then through fear, this prayer now moves to a desire for a blessed reign. Build the character, and then may the period of reigning and ruling be blessed. Asking for God's blessings upon the people. Think of this, the rain to come down and shower the earth, the days of righteous abundance of peace. That's that. Please, Lord, come and pour down, flourish, nurture the land and the people. And that abundant peace, that's the peace that surpasses understanding. Again, only one where that peace truly comes from, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remind ourselves, what did Jesus say in John chapter 10? And we look there, where reminded, and it's an interesting when you think of where we are as the King of Kings, Jesus, in this point where he's talking about being the good shepherd in John 10. We looked at that. And in 10:10, the thief does not come to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Remember here, he's pointing to there's one good shepherd. There's one shepherd who actually gives his life. The rulers that there, the Lord, yes, allows those that come to lead and rule, but we don't take stock and put it in them. We look to the Lord God Almighty. Because what does Psalm 23 say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And think of that abundant peace. Think of the abundant life he points. He brings us to the green pastures. The green pastures that are the ones that have the rain coming down. The earth that's been showered and nourished. So he's praying here for that blessed rain. And not rain coming down, but the rain, the ruling, R-E-I-G-N rain. We got to pray that for our rulers and leaders. And pray that they go to the one who gives true abundant peace, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, the King of Kings. Now, this is important to notice because in looking at these particular verses here, you will see some, and it's sad, who take that idea of the abundant peace, the abundant rain, all of this, and then they start to move to the kingdom now theology that we see pervading our culture today, where they say we got to create God's kingdom now because that's going to usher in the second coming. So we create God's kingdom on earth, and then Jesus is going to come back. I don't know where you get that from scripture, but that's what they're pointing to, which reminds us something. Eschatology matters. That's why we have to know the importance of Israel. That's why we know the rapture. We know the great tribulation. We know the millennial reign. We have to know the way that the things to come are to come. And that's why we then have to be aware, because things like the New Apostolic Reformation that loves pointing to Kingdom Now theology, we've got to be aware of those things of children of God and say, well, no, hang on, let's talk about that and let's rightly look at that and bring them to this and point them to, this is alluding to the millennial reign, but can I tell you how that actually works? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's walk through scripture rightly dividing. Because yes, we are of the kingdom of God. We're citizens of heaven, but our call right now is to live as his ambassadors. And we're ambassadors for the ministry of reconciliation. People need to be reconciled to God. Only one way to do that, Jesus Christ, period. Verse 8, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea. And from the river to the ends of the earth, those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Saba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Let's let the word of God speak for itself. Turn to Zechariah now. After what we just read, turn to the book of Zechariah, chapter 9. Let the word of God speak for itself. Seeing what we just saw, and now we read Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10. Let the word speak for itself. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt and the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, the battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Now, some of that might look familiar, yeah? What we just looked at in Psalm 72. So what we're seeing here in these two verses, it's great. We see the triumphal entry foretold of our king coming. That triumphal entry coming. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A few days later, crucify him. That triumphal entry. And then verse 10, guess what it's pointing to? The second coming that ushers in the glorious reign. We come 1,000 years, righteousness enforced. Sea to sea, river to the ends of the earth. A reign with the entire earth under Christ's authority. foretold by Zechariah, pointed to and foretold in Psalm 72. We see it also pointed to, if you turn to the book of Isaiah next, and we look at Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7. And these are important to look at these things because you see how the Word of God, it's all tied together. It's not just taking this one thing and saying, well, let me just tell you. No, let the Word tell you. This all points to this. It all points to the same thing. So now we look at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And if you remember, a year or two ago, the Lord had us actually do this as our text looking when we were at Christmas. Because we see the birth of our King foretold. And I have to say, with both of these passages we're looking at, Handel's Messiah rings in the head the whole time as I read them. Because you just hear the glorious music that points to who he is. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's Jesus. Come and born. And then verse 7 points to the fulfillment of 2 Samuel chapter 7, where we can see there's the pointing to that promise of the king that's going to come in the line of David, Solomon being the immediate, the ultimate fulfillment, Jesus Christ. And we see there in this moment the millennial reign. These two verses that we look at, 6 and 7, 6 is the birth and coming, 7 is the millennial reign, and if you remember when we looked at this, we're in the middle of those two verses right now, the church age. We're in the middle. And it's then that we've got to realize, okay, this is why we look to the king, but this is why Bible prophecy matters. Because when we look at our text here and then we go back to what we're reading, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That's what we saw in Zechariah. That's pointing to what's going to come in the millennial reign. Solomon is praying for that universal reign, but it's only going to be found in Christ alone. Now we know under David and Solomon, we know Israel at that time had its greatest extent of territory. We know from Genesis 12, 1 to 3, the promised land to Israel. We know at Genesis 15, 18 to 21, it gives us the parameters of the land. And Genesis 15, 18 makes it quite clear we're not talking about something spiritual, we're talking about physical land. If you go back and read that, that's physical land. Nile River in Egypt, Lebanon south to the north, all from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates, all Israel. And that's what that's pointing to. And that's, again, why we need to remember Israel matters. That's why we pray for Israel. We're not just picking, let's pick that country and pray for it. There's a strong biblical meaning. And why it matters when we're in the context of talking about the millennial reign, what's taking place in Israel over time, we're going to be gone, and then what's taking place, Great Tribulation, all that's going to be pointing to the ushering in of the King of Kings coming to reign. And when he does, the end of verse 9, his enemies will lick the dust. Verse 11, all the kings shall fall before him, and all nations shall serve him. That's what is to come. That's what is to come. Saints, when you look at that, do you give praise to the Lord? To be in the book of life, to know the King of Kings? And also when you look at that and realize that means that wrath that is to come is to come, does it give you people to think of that you need to tell about Jesus? Who do you need to tell after this? Who do you need to pray for? Who do you need to call? Verse 12, for he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. Now we see Solomon moving towards that desire for that compassion. Help me to be a compassionate king. Again, there's one king of full compassion, Jesus Christ. When we think of Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16, we're told that we have a great high priest who sympathizes with our weakness. That's why we can go boldly to the throne of grace for mercy in time of trouble, right? There's something we have to understand. That's why the humanity of Christ matters so much. The deity and humanity together matter, because it's in his humanity that he truly is the one of full compassion. There is nothing you will go through that the Lord Jesus Christ will not sympathize with. That's why I say we got to build the default prayer. Google ain't going to help you. TikTok's not going to help you. Instagram's not going to help you. Whatever you think you're going to go to first is not going to help you. It will just waste time. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. He's a high priest waiting. He's a high priest who gets it. What we're looking at in these verses is, yes, he wants to be the king that's meeting all of these needs. And it's almost what you would look at in contemporary society, having a social worker or a caseworker that's putting together and meeting all of these needs. But when we look to the millennial reign and the king to come, guess what? The need he's meeting is salvation, brothers and sisters. He saves souls. Verse 13, will save the souls of the needy. And that's where we remember what our king said, blessed are the poor in spirit. We all need to be that. We all need to be hungry for him. The most important freedom we have is the freedom of our sin-sick souls healed at salvation. That's the most important one. That's why we look to the king, not kings. Because when we look to the king, whatever's going on with the kings that run the world, we're not going to stress or worry about it, because we know who is ultimately in charge, and knowing that we are with him and we have everlasting salvation, because it's everlasting life, we have peace. We have comfort from him. And he tends to that. Now, again, it's this desire for that earthly king to have that compassion, to be that. And we see there that precious shall be their blood in his sight. For in his humanity and deity, he poured out all his blood for us. And he wants that union. He wants that intimacy with his children. Verse 15, and he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayers also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth on the top of the mountains. Its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. This is now moving to, so we've seen the character, we've seen the drive for his righteousness, his compassion for who he is, for that reigning to be blessed, and for the compassion of him to be there, and that all of that would then drive to the prosperity. And we're not talking prosperity gospel, just to be clear. It's not what we're hitting here. But it's the blessings from him. And it's noticing a continual prayer for the king, that they continually pray for the king. And have you thought about that when we think of the millennial reign and the king that we're praying for Jesus? And when you think about our prayers for salvation for folks, we're praying for Jesus. Think of what he prayed in John 17, that they would be one. He wants them to be one. It's a desire he desires. It's a desire that we then desire, because we want to have his mind. We want to desire what he wants. It's what we sing, break our hearts for what breaks yours. And it's this desire for the king to have life and provision, that he would provide through the people, through the crops, and that there would be flourishing and abundance. We see that come up again. All of the needs being met. And that's a beautiful thing to desire. But it really, truly is only ultimately fulfilled eternally. We looked at Revelation 22, 1 through 5 tonight. That's when all that's going to be fulfilled. And that's why we have to remember, yes, pray for earthly leaders to provide. But keep your eye on the king, who is the real provider. Because we've got to remember, what man provides, it's temporal. It will go bye-bye in the car. And when you go bye-bye and go home to the king, you can't take it with you. it all stays. Contrary to what you might think, it's going to stay here. It's not coming with you. And when he's gone to prepare a place for us, he's not preparing it so that you can bring the new drapes you got and the new flat screen TV. It all stays here. So that's why we look to the King of Kings and eternity. That's why we're told in Scripture to lay our treasures where? In heaven. And then when we see here, his name shall endure forever, his name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed, men shall be blessed. It's the fulfillment of what we see in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. All nations will be blessed. Why Israel matters, just saying it again. But we realize something, he is the name above all other names. And think of Philippians 2, 9 to 11, we see that there, that he's the name above all other names. But where does that start? Humility. Humility. You want to pray for godly leaders? You want to be a man or woman of God? The mind of Christ, start with humility. Start with humility. Start with surrender. Then we get verse 18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. We now get to this point. We know, as I shared when we finished book one, each end of the book has a doxology, a blessing that comes forth. And this is blessing the Lord God, the God of Israel. Powerful words there. And guess what? Why? Because he only does wondrous things. And saints, we've got to realize that sometimes the wondrous thing that the Lord God Almighty is going to do or do in and through you comes from what the world would say. That's horrible. And that's when we say, but God. He works all for the good. He is faithful. He is just. He is true. He's going to work for the good. My sister, all that's going on there, I am holding on to the but God. Trust his timing. Trust he is in control. And he has a plan that's better than anything I could imagine. And you have to believe that. You have to walk in that. And that's where that comes from. Who only does wondrous things. And then verse 19, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And remember, in Hebrew culture, we've talked about that name. When we point to the name, it's the character, it's the essence, it's the nature, it's all of him forever and ever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. We know when that's coming, but do you desire that? Do you pray for that now? And it's not bringing the kingdom now, it's praying for his glory. Amen and amen. The double blessing, the double amen reminds us this would be done fully in corporate worship, loud to the King. Saints, when we see those praises and blessings unto the King, you got to ask yourself, how's your praise life? How's your worshiping and blessing of the King? And when we think of the desire for the whole earth to be filled with his glory, how you doing bringing his glory to the whole earth? How are you doing? Are you praying? That's why when we talked about the trip to India, I reminded us, it's not just Pastor David and Dan going. We're all going because the prayers are vital for the trip. And when we heard the reports of that trip, I don't know about you, but that's one that I will never forget to not pray when those things are going down. When you realize how close to Kashmir, when you realize the travel and all of it, it's just, whoa. We got to pray. We've got to pray, and we're doing that. So again, Psalm 72, it's this prayer of Solomon. He wants to be this king, this ruler that has this character, that has the character that comes from the Lord God Almighty, and it reminds us of that. And it gives us how to pray for leaders. And then because we have the whole word of God, we know how it ended for Solomon. And older saints in the house, finish strong. Don't let pride come in the way. Don't let self-righteousness come in the way. Finish strong. Because when you let one little thing creep in, it just builds and builds and it's not good. But it's this godly character, fear, judgment, righteousness, the reigning, the compassion, his providing. Pray that for the rulers. Pray that for our President Trump. Pray that for the administration. Pray that for local officials. Yet, don't forget to keep your eyes on the perfect King. And no elected official who's going to save you. Quite frankly, they're all corrupt. So you gotta look to Jesus. You gotta look to Jesus. He's the only one that can fix it all. And that's why we focus on him. That's why we see in 1 Thessalonians 4, comfort one another. We are to comfort one another with the hope of the rapture. I keep telling folks, copy and paste it and just randomly text it to brothers and sisters and say, here's a dose of comfort for the day. Truly, do it. Let's all do it for each other, because that's what we're supposed to do, and that keeps us with that eternal mindset, looking at all that is to come. Amen? So our charge for tonight, one, pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders. Leaders of the country, leaders of the church, pray for leaders. Two, look to the King. Because guess what? If your name's in the book of life, guess what? Guess who the King of your heart is? Jesus. So look to the King of your heart. Look to the King. And when you're a little astray, go back, look to him. That's why we talk about a life of repentance. We're saved. That's never going to change. Once you are in there, it's everlasting. But there's something the enemy can do. He can try to keep you out of the will of God. And that's why you got to keep looking to the King. Look to what's to come. And three, know the King and be on mission for the King. Because at the end of the day, when we look at this millennial reign to come, it's sweet. It's exciting. But don't forget what comes first. The rapture and the great tribulation. A wrath of woe. Know the King. Be on mission for the King. He's going to reign over all the earth. All the earth, everywhere, needs him. That's why, saints, I love the one of the verses of that, the bedrock of this church, Matthew 5:14. City set on a hill, we've got to be that light. We've got to be that light. So we're gonna do a little old school. We're going to sing a hymn tonight. We're having a hymn sing, saints. I need one of those. Whoops, sorry. Elijah will get those out. But as we look at this psalm, that is a beautiful, as we see, reminder of what's to come, right? It's a gift. It's this promise. There's a hymn, Isaac Watts, that is, Jesus Shall Reign. And I had a much longer background I was going to read on this, and then Pastor Jeff shared one that's much more succinct, so I'm going to share this with you now. This is one of the earliest hymns written with a missionary emphasis. This is another one of the more than 600 hymns by Isaac Watts, often called the father of English hymnody. When this text was written in 1719, the evangelical missionary movement had scarcely begun, so it wasn't quite there yet. It was not until 1779 that William Carey began to stir Christians with the responsibility of fulfilling the Great Commission to the heathen. And guess what? We still have that calling to bring the Great Commission to all, to bring the word. Even then, an Anglican bishop expressed the attitude of his church to missions in his reply to Carey. Young man, if God wants to save the heathen, he'll do so without any help from you. And that's something we, sadly, still permeates our culture today. Well, we just have to understand, if it's just, you know, God knows and there's nothing that we have to do. They're going to be saved. They're going to be saved. So just sit in your little corner and have some tea and crumpets and biscuit and be better than everybody else. Not what I read in Scripture. We've got to be about the business of pointing people to Jesus. They need Jesus. This is still considered one of the finest missionary hymns ever written and one of the most widely used. The text, one of the newer metrical versions of the Psalms by Watt, is a paraphrase of Psalm 72, which we just studied. It has been sung by countless missionaries in numerous tongues. The story is told of an event in the South Sea Islands in 1862, when 5,000 natives sang this hymn as their natives replaced a pagan constitution with a Christian one. So it's a pretty cool text. So let's stand together. We're going to sing through all five verses of this. Jeff's going to play the melody with us nice and boisterously so we hear it too.
Jesus shall reign where the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. To him shall endless prayer be made, and praises throng to crown his head. His name like sweet perfume shall rise with every morning sacrifice. People and realms of every tongue dwell on his love with sweetest song. And infant voices shall proclaim their early blessings on his name. Blessings abound where he reigns. The prisoners leap to lose their chains. The weary find eternal rest, and all who suffer want are blessed. Let every creature rise and bring the highest honors to our King. Angels descend with songs again, and earth repeat the loud amen. And earth repeat the loud amen.
Heavenly Father, may the earth truly, Lord, repeat that loud amen. Father, we thank you for your reign to come. Lord, we thank you for the promises of your word. Lord Jesus, you know what each and every single person faces and is going through. And Lord, may we look to your eternal reign, the hope of all that is to come. And Lord, may we praise you. And Father, may the reality of all that is to come drive us to our knees in prayer to our King. That, Lord, we surrender all with open hands to say, Father, what would you have us do for your glory to serve the gospel going forth? For, Lord, every single one of us has a mission field you've given, be it the children in our homes, Lord Jesus, be it the neighbor, be it the person we see each morning when we stop for coffee, whatever it would be, Lord, help us to be faithful to pointing them to Jesus. Lord, that the prisoners, Lord Jesus, would lose their chains and truly be free by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that the weary would find that eternal rest. And Lord, it is truly eternal, for it starts once we know you, for we take your yoke and we run with our Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you are hope, that you are life, that you are the King of Kings. Bless each person here, Lord Jesus. And Father, help us, Lord, to just surrender all unto you. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. You are my God. You are my King. You are my Master, my everything. You are my Lord.
my God, you are my King, you are my Master, my everything, you are my Lord, that's why I sing to you, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia,
Alleluia unto you, Lord Jesus. Travel mercies to my brother and sisters here, Lord, and may we continue a song of praise unto you, our King, in our words, with our lips, with how we live. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this, and all God's people said, amen. Have a blessed night.